So now, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I want to go to the feast.
I want to go to the feast.
Because that's where you're going.
Because that's where you're going.
In John chapter 7.
In John chapter 7.
Amen.
Amen.
I can hear.
I can hear you.
I can see.
I can see.
And my heart perceives.
And my heart perceives.
How to follow.
How to follow.
Jesus.
Jesus.
To the feast.
To the feast.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 1. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea, because the Jews were waiting to take his life. What a wonderful thing that you're now going to experience. Some people will hate you in this realm, and they will not even give you a hint. They'll let you know they would like to see you dead. That's part of the cost of following Jesus. You say, well, how do you know? Because I've had it happen. Verse 2, but when the Jewish feast, notice it's Jewish, Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, you ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. So what are they doing? They're putting out a commercial on national television.
Excuse me, where are you? What chapter are you in?
John chapter 7.
Thank you.
Okay. I thought I said John chapter 7.
You didn't hear
it. Yeah,
I did. All I heard was John.
John chapter 7, okay. Watch their response. Verse 4. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. So now they want Jesus to be like President Trump. Okay? That's the brothers and the family press. Got it? No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. You say, why are you pressing that out? Because I've been there too. I've had mockery in my family. I've had people tell their brothers when I was communicating with one of the brothers of a good-sized family, in my family, don't talk to him because he'll try to convert you. I wasn't trying to convert, I was trying to be nice. But being nice doesn't really count when you're talking about eternal life. And I was trying to encourage a young man that was broken. His family had kind of pushed him down, and I was pressed of God to communicate that I knew what that felt like because I had been rejected. But his brothers piped up, and I heard them loud and clear. It was a beautiful night. It was in a parking lot. I was at a wedding anniversary party, and this young man was probably in his 40s. And at that time, I was probably in my 60s. And I was trying to encourage. And here is his brothers, three of them, laughing, mocking me. And I'll tell you, it doesn't feel good. Because you're obeying the Lord. There is a price. And that price is that there will be rejection. Okay? So if you're prepared for it, at least you're not going to be saying, well, I wonder why is this happening to me? It happened to Jesus. So those who follow Jesus will
experience.
Get some rejection.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
They will definitely threaten and try to push you back. Verse 5 again, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore, Jesus told them, the right time for me. Say, the right time.
The right time.
For me.
For me.
And I'm stressing that.
And I'm stressing that.
Whoops. No, I'm trying to make you aware that there's a time for you and me. There's a time for all of us. Sometimes you want to run ahead of the Lord, and you're going to crash. Sometimes you hold back because you're afraid, and what will happen? Another crash, a different kind of crash. Jesus' words are very important because he says something that he's really wanting us to hear. The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify what it does is evil. Your life can be a threat to the worldly people. Amen. Your way of living can be a threat to the people in the world. They would rather squish and extinguish you than to bow their knee and serve the Most High God. And they won't be ashamed to tell you about it. That also is a cost of following Jesus. Then he says, verse 8, you go to the feast. I'm not yet going up to this feast. Because for me, the right time has not yet come. Having said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. You might underline that part because sometimes you're going to be doing something in obedience to the Lord, and those who are your critics don't need to be a part of it. So you can pull back and go on your own in secret. You can avoid a lot of persecution by keeping your nose clean and pulling back and going on your own when the Holy Spirit says, it's safe now, do it. You know why Jesus didn't like the persecution? Because he was living in an earth suit just like you and me. Okay? So, verse 11. Now at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking, where is that man? Among the crowd, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, he is a good man. Others replied, no. He is deceiving the people, or he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews. Verse 14, not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? They're really saying they don't understand him because they've never been teaching him. He's getting direct information from the Father on a regular basis by the fullness of the Holy Ghost, the seven spirits of God operating in fullness in him, and he's bypassing the best minds of that day. That's proof. The Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? Can the Holy Spirit download something that you've never understood in the Word and make you wake up when you're in the midst of darkness?
Yes.
How many have had that happen?
Yep.
All right. Why? Because you are chosen vessels and you're following the one that has said to you, follow me. And when you're following him, you're going to taste some of the same things that he tasted. And yes, some of it will be difficult and ungodly, but there will also be downloads of information that will come to you, and they will come in the same way that they came to Jesus. So watch verse 16. Jesus answered, and by the way, if you have a red letter edition, this is all in red, so you kind of circle this area. My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, He will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet, not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? You are demon-possessed, the crowd answered. Who is trying to kill you? Jesus said to them, I did one miracle and you are all astonished. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a child on a Sabbath. Now if a child can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on a Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. That's a mouthful. But there are times that the Holy Spirit will press you to obey. And when he does, do your best not to argue. When I say do your best, I mean that. Because there are times that you're going to struggle with it. But the proof will be that you may get some serious persecution when you obey. That's also a sign that you are obedient. Because the world will try to put you down. And those around you may try it. 25. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ? How do you like them apples? There was a group that were actually aware and discerning. And some, if they can make this comment publicly, they know that there's a possibility. So you see, even the crowd had an awareness of who he was by what he did and his obedience to the Father. That also will happen to you. You may be persecuted for a season from those around you, even relatives. But down the road, when they're in trouble and the phone rings at your place, they may be the very ones that call for prayer. Because you see, when they get busted, they know that you've got a connection to God. How many have tasted that? Put your hand up. Yeah. I had one person that couldn't stand my guts and told me to my face. But when they were in trouble, who do you think they called? Me. That's not patting me on the back. It's telling me if you follow Jesus, you're going to taste some of the same stuff. Okay? So, verse 27, but we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me. At this, they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. Still many in the crowd put their faith in him. They said, when the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man? The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent the temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, I am with you for only a short time, and then I go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. There's a lot more to this word. But I want to rest with that. Because I do believe that I'm trying to make you aware the price of persecution is a reality. What it'll cost you is your natural mind. If you try to reason it out, you're going to fail miserably. If you try to obey under the anointing of God's grace, down the road, someone will say, "Thank you for holding on and following Jesus. Because as you follow him, you've given me an example, because he took you through hard places, and you're still smiling, and you're still walking." And yes, some will be jealous of you. They may not say it to your face, but you'll be aware of it, and you'll know it. And when they do have a need, they will call, and they will say, "Would you pray for me?" So bow your heads. Say, "Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
you're on my case.
You're on my case.
I am following you.
I am following you.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
But I need grace when I'm being persecuted.
But I need grace when I'm being persecuted.
I need favor.
I need favor.
To make it.
To make it.
To the finish line.
To the finish line.
Because when Papa's done with me, he'll take me home like he did Jesus. And I'm grateful. That Jesus celebrated the feast. Even with persecution. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. We'll see you at 11 tomorrow morning if the Lord opens the door for you guys. For you guys. For you guys.